Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Out. Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
Because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there and looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you, sometimes you're right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you're driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build those shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out. Took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know that know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. Get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them. And there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and big. Because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their hands.
be as quick as I can, as quick as it takes to kill somebody, I guess. You want me to be that quick. But, you know, as Ms. Fletcher pointed out, and it doesn't take much to look on the local news every night and see how many black kids, black boys, black men are being killed with these stand-your-ground defenses that these people raise, then they get off. So I take issue with that. I'm the only person here of color, okay? I am a mother, too, and I have a son. And I care as much for my son as y'all care for y'all's. But my son doesn't walk the same path as yours does. So this debate deserves more time. I'm in Pine Bluff. We have killings regularly down there. Mr. Hunter knows. He's our prosecutor. Now, I don't know where the heck, I know where you are from, Gary. And I don't know really where Mr. Ballinger is from. But I can tell you that for a long time since I've been back here in Arkansas, I have feared for my son's life. Now, he's 27 and he's out of Arkansas. And I thank God he is. When you're bringing up crap like this, it offends me. And then to limit the debate too, this is crazy. You don't have to worry about your children, Will. I worry about my son. And I worry about other little black boys and girls. And people coming into my neighborhood, into my city, saying they got open carry rights, walking down in front of my doggone office in front of the courthouse. That's a bully. Do I have a right to stand my ground with some crazy-ass person walking around with a doggone gun? I don't know what the hell he intends to do, but I know I am scared. I feel threatened. Just like some of y'all walking around here up in the legislature with these damn guns. That, what's his name, Garner came in here, walking around here with a damn gun in his under his coat. You can see the damn print.
Okay. Originally, we were going to, and we can still do it, the movie starring Viola Davis, The Woman King, the title for today's podcast is The Woman King, Should Africans Pay Reparations? That's what I have scheduled. But then I got another text this morning, and I want to talk about this. We can talk about either or. But, and I think I mentioned this a year ago or two ago, that 19 families getting together, they bought 97 acres of land in a place called Toomsboro, Georgia. But now we've got some listeners here. I haven't interviewed them on air yet. I need to get them on air. But Viata Robinson mentioned the group. Now, this is different from the 97-acre group, that if you type in 90 black group of 19 black families, this is different. And they've been listeners on and off here for about 6 years, 6-7 years. Thanks to Viata, I know of another group, and like I say, they might be listening now, a group, 12 black people, not 19, but 12 black folks, that they got together and they purchased 110 acres of land. And you know what, I'm not even going to mention the state. But it's a southern state, I'll go that far. If I can get them on here to interview, you know, they can run down, because I know the specific city and all that type of stuff. But I'm going to just say they purchased 110. So you do have black people quietly buying land and sizable chunks of it too. 110 acres, that's a sizable chunk. And there's 12 of them. All right. So, but let me piggyback on the text that I got this morning. Now the group that I'm interested in, and matter of fact, I'm gonna see if I can. Let me cue up some something here. Freedom Georgia. Now, this is another group of people that have bought some land in the name of their settlement, because, you know, you got distinctions here. Settlement, I mean, they're legal definitions of settlement. There are phases to this stuff. You know, if you want to call it, you know, if you buy some land, it can be a compound or a settlement. And then if you want to get more formal legally, you know, there's towns and cities and all that's based on population and that type of thing. I'm going to see if I can get somebody from Freedom, Georgia, at least line up an interview. So let's listen to some James Brown escapism, because that's what these people are doing. They're escaping from the big city. They're getting off the grid. They're buying rural land. And I've said it many times before, that's where the ball is going, not only for black folks, but I know it's not going to be a mass exodus out of cities, but if you want to get on, if you're down on your luck and you want to get back on your feet, head rural. If you want to maintain your wealth, head rural.
I was talking to a cat the other night. Everybody's looking for today. They're looking for escapism. Down. Well, you know,
Look at him. Look at that.
That's right. Right on. Yeah.
Ain't no alcohol. Man, I don't dig it. What you say, Jason?
Hey, don't be so mean.
You know I'm clean now.
All right, that's James Brown singing about escapism, and we got some examples of that. Let me mix in today's title, the original podcast title we have for today, The Woman King, which is a newly released movie starring Viola Davis. The Woman King, full title is today is The Woman King, Should Africans Pay Reparations? More specifically, should Africans pay African Americans reparations? Let me tie that into, I got a text from somebody about there's a group of 19 families that they sort of been in the news for the last 2 years, I think, that they purchased 97 acres of land near Toomsboro, Georgia. All right, now, but then there's another group of black folk, okay, that purchased some land, and I'm going to read about them in a moment, and they started a settlement called Freedom Georgia. And then there's some listeners that we have here on It's My House. I've met one of them in person about 5 or 6 years ago at the 4 acres we have in northern Florida. But they purchased 110 acres of land, and it's just 12 of them. So, but let me, and these are, and the reason why I'm bringing them, these people up, in reference to The Woman King, should Africans pay African Americans, ADOs, should they pay reparations to ADOs? Because you have some people that I guess you could deem them ADOs, African descendant slaves, but they're not going for the reparations checks. What they're doing is they're buying land on their own. So let me read about, Freedom Georgia. And this, they have a Wikipedia page. Freedom Georgia is a settlement in the United U.S. state of Georgia established in September 2020. In the wake of the breakdown of race relations after the killing of several African Americans, including the murder of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia. It was created by 19 American families who together purchased 96.71 acres of land, which is 39 hectares of land, in Wilkerson County near Macon, with the goal of incorporating the city that is a safe haven for people of color. All right, it looks like I'm talking about the same people. Okay. History. Freedom, which is the name of their settlement, community, was inspired. All right, I read through all that. Although Toomsboro, Georgia was not for sale, as the town's mayor explained, a large amount of rural land near the town was available for purchase. This inspired Renee Walters and Ashley Scott, a realtor from Stonecrest, to create the Freedom Georgia Initiative. And people, you can look that up online right now. And proposed purchasing the 96.7 acres of land. They brought together 19 African-American families who raised the money to purchase the land. Now, mind you, this came from 19 families. The resources of 19 families. This did not come from any type of reparations. I have a term called do-it-yourself reparations. They're practicing what I call do-it-yourself reparations. They're not looking for the government to help them with nothing. And I think that's while you guys are waiting on your 40 acres to come from the state government or whatever state you're in, or the federal government of the United States, while you're waiting, and you might get it. You might get it one day. But while you're waiting on that, these people purchased 96.71 acres of land already. I'm just saying. government moves slow, if they move at all. Anyway, getting back to this, let's see. The settlement is located about 130 miles south of Atlanta. All right. And let me point that out. A lot of you that might be struggling in Atlanta, you're struggling in Miami, Florida, you're struggling in Chicago, you're struggling in Seattle, you're struggling in Los Angeles, California, you're struggling in Washington, D.C., you might be struggling. Anywhere from, I'm going to say, 45 minutes to maybe, and let's go with this, 130-mile radius. But wherever you're struggling, that's where your promised land of prosperity lies. I've never failed to see it. Even if you go to New York State, you drive an hour, hour and a half outside of New York City, within the same state of New York, you'll see a whole new way of living. Which will bring sustainability. Anyway, let's see. As of September 2020, the settlement consists of a campground, and its founders are working on establishing roads, utility services, before beginning building residences. Currently, the settlement consists of 500 acres throughout the two parcels. So they went from 96.71 acres to 500 acres. Think about that. Some of you people that are whining over, they promised us 40 acres, but we didn't get it. They made a promise of 40, and they took it back. I think you probably need to rethink your thinking. And for the Ados crowd, you know, I'm just saying, here's an alternative. Because you have some people very emotional, very passionate about getting reparations from the federal government. You got people in Evanston, Illinois. They passed stuff on at the city level for their version of reparations. Now, in the Evanston, Illinois version of reparations, nobody is not even getting an acre of land. It's not even in the equation. Now, they probably have some people in Illinois, whatever state. I know California, I don't know how that's going to turn out on the federal level. I don't know. Like I said, all of it might pass one day. All right. However, yourself method, don't wait on government at all. Do it yourself. I'm just saying. Now, let me tie this into today's title, The Woman King, Should Africans. Because if you read the back, if you go on Wikipedia, look up, there's a Wikipedia article on The Woman King, starring Viola Davis. The movie is based on, I haven't seen it yet, this trailer. The movie is based on actual events. And, of course, you know Hollywood takes dramatic license with stuff. So it's just based on actual events. It's not a historic, don't take it as a historical fact, you know, depiction of whatever happened way back when. But go on Wikipedia and read about the communities or the tribes involved with this, and based on, you know, the Woman King. And you'll see that this black folks own slaves. So, now here are the options, Ados people. You can go to, like, Evanston, Illinois. You can see if your city will cut you a reparations check. Or will your sister, or that city grant you 40 acres? If you don't like that, see what's happening. The state of California, they're working on a reparations bill. Or they're doing a study. I don't even know even if it's going to end up as legislation. But if you want to go through that process, great. And then on the federal level, you got people like, I think, Carmichael or somebody like that. She's working on it on that level. So you got at least three options. Let me add in the fourth option. The fourth option is getting out here, identifying a rural area. The only marching you have to do is after you find a rural location, after you drive out to that rural location, get out of the car, and then march on the premises of the land that you want to get. That's the only marching required. You don't need Al Sharpton. You don't need Jesse Jackson. You don't need a million people marching. You don't need to protest. You can go out here and quietly find it. So I would suggest checking out online. They have a Wikipedia page now. Freedom Georgia, okay, which is a small group of black folk that have put that together. And they've gotten up to 500, they went from 97 acres, they're up to 500 acres now. They're up to 500 acres now. They also did it without the social services office. I'm not knocking social services. I'm just saying. They did it without all that. So, anyway, but let's go back to the original question that I posted up here today. Should Africans pay African Americans reparations? And that's my question for today. And, of course, what are your thoughts on Freedom Georgia? Freedom Georgia, like I said, you can go online. They have a Wikipedia page. They have their own website. And I'm sure there are other groups, little teeny tiny groups, some on the family level, some on, that are getting together and they're buying land and they learn a whole lot from the ground up. Okay, let's go to the phone lines here. 314, your mic is open.
Man, we get to come on real early. That's good.
Yeah, well, I had to develop a new habit.
Absolutely. You don't take no forever to talk about something that's minuscule. Answer your question. African nations are independent, and the people that was, of course, there's no way to prove that. They were sovereign nations. They do what they want to. If it wasn't illegal in their country, well, what are the people here going to do to circumvent that?
Correct.
I mean, just think about it. So you got sold. You committed a crime against a group of people. A group of people had a method of punishment and seeking retribution, compensation, and they wanted monetary. At the time, it was probably cowrie shells. You didn't have no cowrie shells to pay for the damage you done. So they sought that recompense by selling off your butt, which was societal norm.
True.
So that's just how they go. Now in Freedom Town, what are they planning on doing to that area? You can't discriminate
Freedom, Georgia,
from people that want to move them.
All I know is what they have here on Wikipedia.
You got land in Florida, right?
Yeah. Nowhere
and
on that scale, though.
Well, no, it don't make no difference what scale it is.
Well,
you got land
on
Florida where people can build a house.
Yeah, well, I'm keeping mine small, like the four or five households, that's all. The Freedom of Georgia
now,
people, hold up, Bianchi. With the Freedom of Georgia thing, according to their Wikipedia page, they want to, they've bought that amount of land because essentially they want to have a community where, according to the Wikipedia article, they want to have their own policing system in place. They want a safe haven for black folks. They want to have their own, they just want to be in their own little world. So, and it,
well,
it was motivated by the murders of, or homicides of, you know.
Technically, black folks, if that's going to be a all-black community, it's going to be blacks that's going to be killing blacks like it is in any other community, in most of the cases of time. Look at St. Louis. That's blacks killing blacks in St. Louis. Ain't no whites in St.
Louis.
I'm
just telling
you
what now. I'm just telling what the people that, the 19 families or whatever, their reason for getting together, and more than likely, I'm just taking this for granted. These 19 families that got together, more than likely, they're not going. It's not going to be people in Freedom, Georgia, killing each other. They want to get away from all of that.
That's the way it's, they don't. You don't know. Human beings just do things. You can't. I mean, that's just the way it is. Heck, you got an all-black town nearly here in Mississippi, and you got killing going on amongst blacks. And I guess you would have the same thing amongst Asians, too, if that's what they have a compensatory nature to do. But on your land, you if somebody came and said you want they wanted a lot so they could build a house, would you sell it to them?
Nope. No,
because
somebody
you wouldn't
I
have
didn't
a
know, no. Somebody
Yeah, suppose somebody come up to you and say, Mr. Davis, I would like to buy this plot. And you would say no, right?
Yep.
Now, you just said that you would sell it to somebody you do know, right?
I would have to take them to another plot of land, but that particular land, no.
All right, so you got, let's look at lands you own anywhere. If somebody come up to you and say, Mr. Davis, and it's for sale, right? If you got it for sale. They come up to you and say, Mr. Davis, I would like to buy this plot of land. And you, what are you going to tell them?
If it was one that I had slated for that, I would say yes.
Well, yes, you would have to. So if a white person come up to you and say, Mr. Davis, I'd like to buy this plot of land, and it's for sale, you can't turn them down, can you? Then
that's
if a black person
question.
Come in next week and say, Mr. Davis, I want to buy this plot of land, you say, oh, sure. Here's the detail, sign the paper.
Well, well more right than likely, there, with me, I like to deal with people that I know a little bit about. I don't like to do business with complete strangers.
But is it not discrimination?
No, because I didn't say whether I was going to turn them down because they were black or white.
Yeah, but you eventually did, because if three come that was white and one come that was black and you sold to the black, then
well,
optically
it might look like that, but. That's just the opposite.
And
the
white offer you more money.
I can't sell it to you because you're white.
Yeah, but the white offered you more money than you eventually sold it to the black person for.
Well, there's an infinite amount of reason why, you know, people sell what they, you know, why people sell. I mean, the person who I sold to, they might be my bowling league buddy. I just happen to know.
That don't make no difference. Bowling league buddies, being a member of a bowling league don't relate to Ken. You see where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to, now I wouldn't foolishly say I'm not going to sell to you because you're black, white, or whatever. Now, what these people did with, Freedom, Georgia, this is a group of 19 mm-hmm. black families that they got together and they said, let's buy some land where we can be safe.
I understand that.
Now, there's nothing
wrong
with that.
You can buy some land and say you buying it so that we can celebrate the 4th of July with fireworks, if you want to say that.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do for electric, sewer, and water?
I'm assuming they're working on that.
Yeah, but...
Because they would have to have an environmental study. What do you call it?
Environmental study done. Wait a minute. Environmental study by who?
Whoever does it for that county.
It would be for the... It would be two entities. Maybe three. But actually two. One's the state, the other's the federal government.
Okay. And that's
especially in your disposal of sewage water.
Right.
Your disposal of sewage.
Then you got electricity. Around about 20,000.
Then you got electricity.
Mm-hmm.
What a deal with sewer water, where are you disposing it at? And then if it seeps down to the groundwater, that's affecting everybody.
Right.
So what I'm saying
now imagine they're probably going to have a septic system, I guess. I don't know.
That's
why I want to get one of them over here. I want to get them on
so people can
ask some questions.
Yeah, that's worse yet because now you're exposing the ground. And like I said before, the water to it. So what I'm trying to say, you're not going to have no town that's all black unless you have it just for your family members. That's it. But what happens once them family members die off?
And
I mean,
that's
possible.
I want to get them on here. And then there's another group of people I know that bought 110 acres in another southern state. Actually, the same state as them, which is Georgia. They bought 110 acres in another town.
But you
can ask them because I don't know what they're planning.
I'm not going to ask them because I know the logic of the whole thing and what you can do and what you can't do. Just because somebody has something that's advertised one way and you read it, well, you know that you can't do it. If somebody say, I got a car that will run 300 miles an hour, and it's a 1955 Chevy, well, you know those Chevy is not going to run no 300 miles an hour under normal circumstances.
Right.
So under normal circumstances, to have land that's going to be exclusive to one particular ethnic group in the United States is not going to go down. Because that land is lying in what area? It's lying in the state of Georgia. State of Georgia is controlled by a state legislature. And no matter how many Stacey Abrams you elect, that state legislature still controls the state of Georgia. And then if the state of Georgia come up with something that people that it's affecting say it's unconstitutional, then there goes your whole idea out the window.
Well,
right
now,
there.
Now, are you,
I don't care if it's white. Even whites don't do it.
Okay. Well, hold on. But, all right, their idea, all right, what the way they've moved so far is they got together and say, look, we want a community where black folks or people of color, as they put it, will be safe. That's their mission. So, matter of fact,
That's fine if they're saying that they want a community where people can be, black folks can be safe. Also, anybody else that moves there will want to be able to be afforded the same privileges that would make them safe too, right?
I'm on their website right now, which is the Freedom Georgia Initiative. It says economic power. Here's what it says. Our vision is to develop a vast resource rich of 502 acres land just outside of Toonsboro, Georgia, for the establishment of an innovative community for environmentally sustainable living, health and wellness, agricultural and economic development, arts and culture for generations to come. The next thing they say is healing from racial trauma. Now, this is all part of their mission. And that's the words they use, our mission. The Freedom Georgia Initiative was established out of the extreme sense of urgency to create a thriving, safe haven for black families in the midst of racial trauma a global pandemic and economic instabilities across the United States of America brought on by COVID-19. Now, they put that word in there, black families.
All right, let's stop right there. So if somebody move into their community and catch COVID, all right, who do they sue?
I have no idea.
Well, you see where I'm going with this. People can write up stuff that sounds good. Hell, might as well call the place Oz. Let's call it Oz. But the streets is paved in gold. Yeah, but you can only go so far with those ideas because now you're running into things that's factual because you are within a state. You always say yourself, you own the land, right?
You don't.
So if they don't pay state taxes.
As long as you pay those property taxes. As long as you pay those property taxes.
Right, if they got to pay state taxes, then they don't own the land.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing some operations on there like the Amish, where you're doing unpasteurized milk, and some other blacks come up and say, I like to buy a gallon of milk. Oh, sure. Come on. Let me look at you hard. Yeah, you black. Come on. I'll sell you a gallon of milk. That right there brings the U.S. Department of Food and Agriculture into the mix.
Well, I'm going to reach out to them. The phone number that they had doesn't connect for some reason, so I'm going to have to email them, but I want to get them on here. So that,
well,
as well as another group.
Come up with 10 questions and ask them. You don't have to call them up and ask them. My wife, I'm black. My wife is white. Can I come on there? Or that I'm black and my wife is Asian.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm black. I'm just getting out of prison for murder. Can I come on there? White, can I get up? I mean, just ask questions and see how they answer.
Well, I'm just reading off of their website. Those are their words. They might have to change up the legalese.
Now, I do know of places where in the contract
likely,
it says that.
The average white person might not want to even live in this community anyway. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but if one do, well, you going to make it so bad, it's just so terrible that you're going to try to scare them away like the old cliche of a bucket of crap in a mop?
Well, I don't know how they would legally craft it because the reason why you have, membership clubs, basically membership is based on some type of core belief or some type of core identity. It could be professional or whatever, union, trade unions or whatever. But I like with Trump's Mar-a-Lago, which is I think it's a membership club or whatever. I'm sure if they have membership requirements, and if you don't meet those requirements, you don't get in.
You talk
now,
about
more
restricted
likely,
covenant,
it has
right?
Nothing to do with race or religion.
Yeah, but you're talking about restricted covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Restricted covenant is struck down.
Well,
if you
wanted
to move in Trump's Mar-a-Lago, you could, tentatively.
If you had
practically, I don't think you wouldn't be able to afford it.
Oh, yeah, well, that's where a cutoff comes on with a lot of membership groups. But then again, it could be, for instance, the chances of me joining a women's club, okay, why do women?
You
some
could,
women form
you,
women's
you
clubs.
Can
for
as, you could identify as a woman.
No, I don't identify that. But it's a place where women can get together and discuss whatever women's issues. I'm not a woman.
Yeah, but you. So what you could though? It's not whether you are or not. It's whether you could if you wanted to. If you wanted to identify a woman in today's climate, you're talking about
well, in today's
being
climate,
safe, right?
If you wanted to join a women's club, you could. Legally, they could not prevent you from applying. Now, you might
get turned down because if there's a
membership committee, the membership committee can strike it and say, no, we don't want so-and-so in here.
And the
reason why they might not want the person in there who might be a male might not have nothing to do with the obvious. But hold on, Pam. We got another call here. Let's see. 410, your mic is open.
Hotel Brother L.A. and Hotel Brother Pianki, how are you guys doing?
Fine, fine.
I noticed
depends
my board.
Depends on how I go from here.
Brother L.A., how can you stand it? I swear to God, I mean, I don't know how you can put up with it. I guess
I'm open-minded to everybody.
And boy, you have to have the patience of Job, and I swear you just have to be very, very humble to put up with some of the stuff that I see you put up with. My God. Oh. But anyway, look, Brother L.A., you're always bringing up reparations, which, you know what, from here on out, I'm not even going to entertain some of the stuff that I hear on this program from here on out. I'm going to just deal with the people that wants it and the people that can make the decisions, because I know people on this broadcast don't have the power to either prevent or go in and make sure that it happens. So from here on out, I'm not even going to entertain those types of conversations, because you already know my position. I already know yours, and I ain't going to come up here and just get up here and talk just to be talking. But anyway. Look, as far as getting reparations from Africa, the Africans don't even own the damn continent. So they don't own their own economies. So how in the hell are you going to get something from them? The best Africans with the best minds and the best talents came over here on those boats. The riffraff was left back over there, evidently, because if you look at the way they're living and you look at how all them foreigners is taking over the whole continent again, hell, they ain't got nothing that Adolf's people can get over here. You know, the queen's still
on. I don't know, now, there's a lot of modern cities throughout Africa that, you know, black folks put together now. Lagos, Nigeria is, you know, that they can compete with anybody in the West. Not only, you know, different cities in Nigeria, but South Africa.
I don't think you heard me.
Okay.
They don't control the economy. All of the businesses just about is owned by foreigners. So, I mean, with that being the case, and look, the IMF got them over a barrel, the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, and you got corrupt leaders that has been bought out by foreign interests. So, I mean, if you see the way them people live in hell, I mean, African Americans over here is about the most powerful group of black folks on the planet. So, I mean, we don't have to worry about that. Should we just deal with what's over here in the United States? We'll get with that later. God damn it, if you look at the queen, who she's in control of, and the way it's set up, I'm going to send you the website, because, see, a lot of people just talk to be talking. Hell, England and the foreign interests got them all under control. They left, but they still got control of those places. And furthermore, there were these so-called countries you're talking about weren't countries back during the times that we were talking about when slaves were shipped over here. They weren't even organized a group of people as far as nations are concerned and countries are concerned. These countries have been carved out by foreign
by foreign countries. So with that being the case, we just stick with what's here in America. Now, getting back to your subject, look, these people, what do you call them? Young people with the horse carriages and stuff like that.
Horse carriages?
Up in Pennsylvania.
Oh, you're talking about the Amish and Mennonite, yeah.
How many people that's not Amish live in their communities?
I don't know. Community I know in Yoder, Kansas, 165 people.
But who lives in their community at all? They're all Amish, aren't they?
Yeah, Amish and maybe a couple of Mennonites, which is the same thing almost.
Yeah, which is the same thing. So, I mean, they don't have a problem sticking out a piece of territory and saying, hey, look, this is Amish country. You know, sometimes people make simple things complicated. Look, my thing is always this. If you got a bunch of black folks in the area, I don't think you have a problem with white folks wanting to move in there with us if black folks are in control. I've seen that in history. Just as soon as we move in, they move out. You've heard of white flight, haven't you?
Yep.
So I don't think you had to worry about that. And if they do want to move in, look, black folks can still have control. See, the whole thing is about control and power. If they set it up and they're in charge of the operations and they have the power to make decisions, then that's all that matters. Hell, anybody that wants to come in there can come in there. In fact, if they're Democrats, I ain't got to worry about Bianca coming in there any damn way. So with that being the case, all of this gibberish that I've been hearing before I got on is all for naught. You can take that shit, that stuff, and push it down the damn toilet.
Can I say something?
Yeah, say whatever you want.
Well, when black folks move in, black folks leave.
Thank you. You're making my point.
And when black folks that was holding it and built it, it was the first foundation of it, kept it nice, was not changing rear ends and transmissions on the front of the curve in front of the house, when these that move in and do that, those brothers move out. Then sooner or later, you got all the other things that you have where these folks say they want to be safe from is right there.
Brother Piotr, you're a very smart young man. And, you know, hopefully, you know, you can get my age because you haven't seen a lot of stuff evidently. You don't get out much. Have you ever heard of a thing called a covenant?
I thought you said you listening to the conversation. We already talked about that.
Answer my question. You heard of a covenant, haven't you?
Yeah, we already talked about that. I mentioned that.
All of that stuff you just mentioned, a covenant would take care of all of that. My sister lives in a gated community, and the thing is, all of that stuff you just mentioned, cars parked in the driveway and people haven't, and they don't run anymore. They're inoperable. First thing they do is they hold those dirt. They have a covenant covering what you can grow, what you can't grow, and everything else. So with all of that stuff you're mentioning, it's a moot point.
Oh, yeah, you know you're right about that, Beasley. The covenant is set by a ordinance board, elected board. But when these people that like to change their transmission on the street get into enough numbers where they can take over the board, they're going to change transmissions on the street.
That covenant protects property values and property rights. I beg your pardon.
But what I'm saying is this, is that when people, like with my daughter's staying far north, St. Louis County, 5 acres. I'm moving her out of there because nearby, you got George Floyd and them coming. And see, George Floyd and them, where they came from, they was new to the area, and then they multiplied and took over. Now the area is so bad that they don't want to stay there no more. They want to stay where the nice people have kept things up. See, it's best to be able to lay on a concrete surface and change your transmission rather than laying on a dirt surface. So they come in, and you got people going around with bullhorns talking about Black Lives Matter, we need you to run, and they run, take over the government. Now they do away with that cover. That's their responsibility to do that. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, you said it. But now, in order for that covenant to be changed, don't you have to go through a procedure? You just don't go in and say, I'm going to change the covenant. Don't you have to go through the
Yes,
don't
sir.
You have to go through
the right.
Huh?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Within the government and the community.
All of that stuff you're talking about, you can just mute it. Because you just can't
You can't. You can't just mute it. Because how did the government get in place in the first place? People sat down at a table and wrote up something and they voted on. And then for you to move into there, you sign a contract which includes those stipulations. Now, that was voted on. When Ray Ray and them move in there, they going to take control of the government like they did in the city of St. Louis, like they did in Wellston, Pine Line, and other areas, and they going to change things like they did in Normandy when Maurice Hunt said that he was going to fire all the white workers in the city of Normandy. Normandy is all black now. Whites live.
You're getting away from the original.
No, what I'm trying to show is that when they take over the government, they can do what they want to in that community.
But the point is, that covenant is going to be in effect and it has to be voted on. It has to be brought up as a resolution and it has to be voted on before it can be rewritten. Am I correct?
If you got a 10-member board,
enough railways probably can't move in. But the thing is,
railways will move in and take over the board and vote the covenant out. Now, y'all, come on, we can.
Would you want to override that covenant, is what I'm saying.
But Beasley, would you want Ray Ray to move next door to you?
I wouldn't give a darn. I'm going to be honest with you.
I wouldn't want Ray Ray and whoever his buddies are.
Well, see, I can deal with Ray Ray.
I don't want to live next door to him.
I can deal with Ray Ray.
I don't want to sell to him.
That's the thing that Pianchi has that he hasn't considered. If nobody's selling and those 19 families are satisfied with the group that originally started that neighborhood and they ain't selling, then that's another thing. But here's another way that regulates this thing. Once the price of property is so high, you ain't going to have a lot of railways in there anyway. But
exactly.
I can deal with the railways. You guys can't, but I can because, look, you got subdivisions that's totally white now, don't you?
Oh, yeah. They're black subdivisions.
Yeah, well, they can't keep blacks from moving in.
Pianchi mentioned something several times over the years. Politics. X out the color part. Certain people, you don't want their politics in your neck of the woods. That's really what it comes down to. Their politics might not match up with yours, and you don't want to deal with their politics.
Well, that's a different subject. That's a different subject, your politics. We're talking about a certain class of people with certain characteristics that you feel uncomfortable with living with. Now, as far as politics is concerned, hell, I don't give a damn what your politics are. You know, but now when it comes to you having junk cars in front of your yard and you're having a lot of music, loud music and cussing and everything else, that's something different than what we're talking about.
Okay, do you want to live next door to I think this involves some kind of politics. A Section 8 queen. Now, me personally, I don't want to have nothing to do with Section 8.
I have lived beside Section 8 queen. I'm renting to Section 8 people, right? I mean, I get along fine
right,
with them.
Let's run this down one at a time.
All right, now, you...
Hang on for a second, L.A.
Okay,
let's, look at this real quick. Look at this. What would you want your kids to go to school? You want your kids to go to school and leave? Hell, you got blacks that's moving out of Atlanta because the schools is terrible. So if you're going to have a black community, and if you look at patterns, the schools are going to be terrible.
Well, I have enough money to educate my kids the way I want to. I did. So now you can take that and
all right,
pay for that.
Which means your politics is different from somebody who didn't have those type of resources. So when it comes to, like, you take this family that's, you know, the 19 families or whatever, their politics, if we ask them, do you want Pookie and Ray Ray in your community? More than likely, they're going to say no.
That's one of the reasons they moved, isn't it?
I'm sure it is.
They said they wanted to be safe,
want
right?
to be around Pookie and Ray Ray either.
Exactly,
well,
but that's why they moved. But my point is this.
Yeah.
When you have
well,
a covenant.
Let's stay on that a little bit, BZ, and we're going to get along. Let's stay on that a little bit. They said they came to the decision based on George Floyd, didn't they, L.A.? Wait a minute. The events around George Floyd. So maybe they're talking about the rioting and protest. They don't want to be around that. And it was Negroes and some crazy whites that was involved in that and kicked that off, but mostly blacks. They don't want to be around that. Maybe that's why they're forming that town.
And your point is what?
Because people are thinking that they don't want to be around whites. See, in Atlanta, when blacks are moving out of Atlanta into the outskirts area, they're moving out there with whites. They did it from Ferguson. They moved into St. Charles County with whites. They didn't go back east with blacks.
But those people, these people that is in the discussion, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brother L.A., it was 19 families that bought 97 acres of land, and they said they wanted to leave the cities for those conditions that Pianca just described, right?
They wanted to get away from the racial unrest, and you know what? That would also include black-on-black crime, or what's called black-on-black crime. They want to get away from all that.
That's right. And that will also include police shootings.
They did say that. They want to get away from all that. They want to police themselves the way they see fit.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
look,
right.
Now, hang on real quick.
If they have a police department, that police department has got certain rules and regulations that's given to them by the state legislature, especially the use of deadly force. But go ahead.
And look, here's the other thing. Didn't they say that they were in an unincorporated area of L.A.? I looked at the video.
Yes, they're in an unincorporated area. Yeah, they are.
Okay. Which means that their law enforcement comes from the county sheriff. But now, let's get back to where we were. The thing is
hang on for a second, real quick, before you get away from that. The county sheriff is allowed to exist based on the state constitution. That's still state legislature.
That's right. But now, if they incorporate that town, the county sheriff doesn't have any jurisdiction over that area where they incorporate. But look, but let's get into this thing about Ray Ray and all of this other crazy
Let's correct that. Hang on. That town still lies within a county. Incorporation has nothing to do with the county sheriffs having control. City of St. Louis lies in St. Louis County. City of St. Louis has a elected sheriff. Now, they can curtail his or her duties, but they still are located in a county and that county is located in a state. Go ahead.
But that sheriff does not have jurisdiction within that municipality.
The sheriff has the sheriff. Hang on. If that municipality sits in that county where that sheriff is elected and the people in that municipality participate in there, the sheriff does have jurisdiction in that.
But the
area.
County does not, the county sheriff does not have jurisdiction within an incorporated town that has its own police force.
Well, that's not true.
Bush, come on.
I'm going to send you, and I think I did already, L.A., and I forget what city it was. The local police went out and arrested the sheriff because the court issued a warrant for his cell phone, and he didn't want to give it up. So they came back and put his ass in handcuffs and marched him off. Why, the sheriff definitely just looked. But I'll send that to you. But I don't want to hold up on this one point. Go ahead.
Well, I know. Beasley also, like, I know in Taft, Oklahoma, Taft, they had, I guess what you could call officially a police officer. He was more like a night watchman. But the citizens of Taft didn't want to pay for him, so they don't have any more person like that. So I guess it's different from county to municipality on what powers they can, you know, enact when it comes to law enforcement.
Well, look, let me give you this, Brother L.A. I live in a county.
Mm-hmm.
There's a town that's incorporated. They have their own police department. That police department is responsible for carrying out orders. Whatever he's empowered to do within that town. The sheriff have no jurisdiction in that. In fact, they have their own jailhouse. In fact, let me give you this one. We have a hospital here that has its own police department, and I asked the guy, I said, look, are you under the county sheriff department? He said, no, within the confines of this property. We are the law enforcement. In fact, we have a jailhouse right here in the hospital. They carry guns, they carry batons, and he said, we have the power to arrest. He said, but the sheriff, the county sheriff stops at at the perimeter of this hospital. So now, I don't know what the law is over.
It's different everywhere you go. It's different everywhere.
That's right.
Like,
so now, I don't know what the law is in Georgia, but I'm just telling you now, whenever an incorporated town has its own police force, the county sheriff jurisdiction stops wherever that perimeter is for that town in North Carolina. So now, I don't know what's happening where y'all live at, but I want to get back with this railroad thing. So my thing is... I'm quite sure, and look, this lady goes into a long description of what they have to do to make this property work. And the thing
is talking about here in Freedom, Georgia, yeah. Because right now
so
they
now
don't have enough people to be a city.
Well, they do and they don't. I mean, how many people does it take? She said
well,
that,
I don't know what the different places are. A lot of them base it on people, you know, how many people do you have of voting age? You know, I mean, they got what's the homestead, what's the settlement, what's the town, you know, they got then city, you know, classes of city and all that. So, and it's once again, it's different from place to place. I mean, there's some towns that have a population of 51 people and it's a municipality. Others,
exactly.
Depending on where it is, you need a lot more than that.
Yeah. Well, she said that they down in Georgia, they have to have 600 plus acres in order to incorporate. So
They
are a long ways from incorporating. But the thing is, all they are, like you said before, is just a settlement of people. That's all, you know. But
right.
I don't.
And Pianchi brought up some very basic. Before you even get on those levels, just for a basic homestead. You know, if you're going to have a septic system or you're going to tap into the sewer system, Is there, you know, all that, you know, municipal services, you know, I'm sure they got a whole lot to learn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On their 19 acres, the sheriff of that county that their acres sit in has the jurisdiction. If somebody gets killed
right
on the property, the sheriff come in there and lock people up, and they will start an investigation.
They're unincorporated, yes. They're unincorporated.
Well, they got to crawl before they can walk. They got to crawl before they can walk, so.
The city, let me say this. St. Louis County, Missouri is incorporated, and it has a sheriff that's over all the towns in St. Louis County, Missouri. The sheriff is over Pine Lawn. The sheriff is over Huntley. The sheriff is over Brentwood. And Brentwood have their own police, have their own municipal court, all those do. But that sheriff is over them.
Well, it's different in Missouri. If that's the way it's done in Missouri, but I don't know what the deal is.
But you know what? But even county by county, like you know, there are differences a lot of times between county. Where you can do one thing in one county, and the next county over, you can't do it.
Maybe so.
Then too, they gotta come under state regulations. They got to come up to be classified before they can float bonds. They can impose taxes. They can't impose taxes on somebody until they meet certain specifications. So what people are thinking that they're going to have an all-black town, that ain't going to be if they ever incorporate to become a city. They're either going to be a village. They're going to be a town or first, second, or third-class city. Now, that's the way it is in Missouri.
Well, like I said before, I don't know what the deal is in Georgia, but look, they have to get a charter to do all of those things we're talking about. They don't have a charter yet. And look, they also have to do an environmental impact study also.
The girl
said that they have to have a civil engineer to come in there and do all of this other stuff. So, I mean, these are just the first steps that they're going through. But now, she did say that they're in an unincorporated area, which means... And she spelled it out. She says, basically, you know, hey, we go under what the county says, and we don't have to worry about ordinance and zoning and all of this other stuff because they're unincorporated. So, you know, I mean, all of the things that we're discussing, I mean, what we're saying is a long ways off, but as far as people moving in that they don't want, they're owners of the land. If they don't want to sell, hell, they ain't got to sell, especially if they're in an unincorporated area. It's only 19 of them so far. So, I mean, but as far as me living with Section 8 people, I've lived around them all my life. And I've done business with them. And I'm renting to some of them. And the thing is, I have a strict code on what they can and cannot do. Just as soon as they break the contract that I have, they get their behinds out. And that's
now,
the way I run my job.
I rent it to them, too, and I prefer not to rent to them because typically they come with domestic problems. And I'm talking about domestic violence problems.
And I'll screen them very carefully. I don't have
shacking. The only thing, Beasley, you can't, can you screen out somebody? I give an example. I had a Section 8 person, he got into a beef with the mother of the child. Long story short, he committed suicide. Now, I had just fixed up that unit. Most Section 8 people I've had, they get into fights all the time. I'm tired of fixing up stuff behind people that get in fights all the time. So I'd rather not have them. That's just me.
You've been
don't have nothing to do with color, but a lot of them just
got
boyfriend problems.
If that tenant tear up your property, don't the Section 8 pay for it to put it back together?
They didn't pay me.
Exactly. Yeah.
They pays me.
But my place is inspected by the Section 8 people.
What age range? Put it this way, if I ever do Section 8 again, it's going to be somebody that's Man, you know what? 50 years old might be a little bit too young for some people. Give me the senior citizen Section 8. The 20 and 30-year-olds, they fight all the time.
Look,
you might as well have an old folks home.
I got them from 21
on. Because, man, all that young, I don't want so-and-so around my kids and all this stuff. Man, no, I don't need all that.
I got them from 25 all the way up to 59. And the thing
give me
is,
the 59-year-old.
And I got a contract that spells out what the deal is. I don't have more than one family in one house. I don't have any shacking. And if I ever get a report that they're smoking weed in my place, they got 30 days to get the hell out.
Now,
Beasley, look,
you know, that's legal now in a lot of states.
And look,
eventually it'll be legal in all 50 states. Oh,
right,
but you can't have no smoking, though. You can't have no smoking. So you are, yeah, you're right on that.
They can't smoke in my place. Cigarettes or dope or whatever what have you. And the other thing is, the Section 8 operation here in North Carolina has a set of rules, too. And my thing is, hey, look, you don't have more than one family in my place, no shacking. And if you play music real loud and you keep I keep getting complaints, you got 30 days to get out. I ain't having a lot of traffic.
They related. You say you can't have more than one family. So they related. They the family. It's still a family.
I just told
you.
It's
the way around
part,
that.
That's part of the Section 8 contract, too, now.
Because I know some people, what they do is they ask, how many people are going to be living in here? They ask this up front. And then they want a picture of every person that will be living in that unit. If you're not of that coming in, you know, if anybody's added to that, you're out.
That's right.
You got to narrow it down to overnight guests. Can they have do you allow overnight guests, Beasley?
Biggest thing
is stay in Atlanta there.
They can stay there for 5 days. After that, they got
reasonable.
To get the hell out.
All right, that's reasonable.
Well,
so I mean,
you got to take pictures and all that, might as well stay in Atlanta.
Say what?
So you got to take pictures, give your height and weight, and I might as well stay in Atlanta.
That's the whole idea. That's the way I see it.
Well,
some people are not going to move out of Atlanta. Some people are not going to move out of St. Louis. The ones that you can't pull out of the city, you don't want them anyway.
That's right.
That's where I look at it.
And you know, I don't think you have to worry about them going out there where those people
No, yeah, a lot of people, they're not going to move out. I think a lot of people's cutoff point is 60. They might, anything outside of an hour commute, they'll leave it alone.
And I think this conversation we're having is much to do about nothing. Because, like you said before, the type of people that we're talking about, number one, they can't afford to move out of there. And the other thing is they're so comfortable with just walking down the street, going to a corner store, getting what they want, and walking back, or either just hanging out with the conveniences in the city. Because, look, those people are going to have to build a whole new infrastructure. And they talked about, hey, look, you know what? We got to have certain people with certain skill sets to make this work.
Exactly. These 19 people can't be lazy. They can't.
Yeah, I might come out there with my white girlfriend. Blonde girlfriend.
I ain't got to worry about you going out there because most of those people are Democrats. They're liberals. And you don't want to be around liberals.
Oh, you know what?
I think
out of these 19 people, we haven't had a conversation with them yet. I think a lot of these 19 people will eventually become Republican because they want less government.
That's right. They might be liberals. Wait a minute. They may be liberal going in, but once they get there, they going to change.
Yeah, they don't want to be imposed on and bullied by people that, you know, that they have an entitlement complex.
Well, Brother L.A.,
Did you you looked at the videos concerning the subject we're on, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
The girl said that the reason why they moved out was because they wanted less regulations. But now, just because you're a Democrat don't mean you want less regulation. I mean, that's something that you guys have been
Republicans want less regulation.
Well,
Democrats want
Democrats
more regulation.
So, I mean, that's not exclusive to conservatives and Republicans. Hell, I ain't no Democrat and I ain't no Republican. I don't want people telling me what to do. I live in the city and I live in rural areas, but hell, that don't my political persuasion don't dictate what I like and what I don't like as far as where I live. Hell, I don't want a lot of rigmarole in my life, especially crackers. So I mean, you can take that and shove it. Hell, that's the reason why I moved back in North Carolina, because I got tired of being around crackers.
Well, now, you lived up in Baltimore, too, right?
Thank you.
I'm going to have a white wife.
Now,
Thanksgiving.
I know you didn't live in certain areas of Baltimore.
Do you know what, Brother L.A.? I moved directly in the middle of the hood.
All right.
What area did you live in
Baltimore?
I lived in the northeast area over there by Bel Air Road. And look, let me
give
you this.
I know that area a little bit.
Okay.
That's a nice little middle class neighborhood.
Would you walk in that area? Would you walk in that area?
Over there by Greenmount, down there by, that big cemetery of Greenmount, North Avenue?
I'm familiar with the area.
Would you live down in that area?
You know what? You ain't got to worry about it no more because it's been gentrified. When I first moved to L.A., I walked up and down that street. I had a buddy that had rentals in that area.
I'm sure, back then, I can walk, you can walk, as long as you mind your business, but I'm just, with a wife, some people just, that area, I wouldn't want to be down there married. That's all I know.
Brother L.A., North Avenue, Greenmount Avenue, Cold Spring Lane. I've been all over that place.
Now,
and the
Cold
thing
Spring is day and night compared to Greenmount North. Now, I don't know how Greenmount North are now. I'm going back to like the 80s and 90s. I don't know when you were in Baltimore, but I'm talking about 80s.
I was in the 90s and the 2000s.
Okay.
And the thing is, Brother L.A., I went all over that place. I feel just – and look, down there on the down there on the western part of Baltimore, down there by where Coppin University is,
mm-hmm.
all black, and you know how that place looked in the 90s.
Oh, Coppin State University?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know that whole area. Oh, yeah, I could live in that area.
Well, the thing is,
Walbrook Junction. I definitely live in Walbrook Junction.
Well,
but I'm talking about if you go like Pennsylvania Avenue, or the area around Pennsylvania North Avenue.
I used to hang out on.
I don't know how it is now, but I remember when it was ghetto.
It was ghetto when I was there. But I used to go up and down the street all the time. I used to do business on that street. I mean, it all depends on the outlook and your circle of friends that you're around. In fact, I had my store down there on Chesterfield Avenue, and look, people of all sorts come in there. That was the hood before I left. But
well,
now
you made a very important point. It all depends on the people that you hang around. So a lot of the people that get shot up and killed anywhere, more than likely, they were hanging around the wrong type of people.
And everybody came in my place. The only people that tried to rob me was a bunch of two crackers, a boy and a girl strung out on drugs. I think I told you about that.
Yeah.
But I didn't tolerate no mess. I had rules. And the thing is, when you come in there, you take care of your business and you get out. And if you want a conversation, hey, I carried on a conversation. But the thing is, it's like anywhere else. I felt more dangerous I felt more uncomfortable in Laurel than I did anywhere else because, you know, that's where the Ku Klux Klan was hanging at when I was
well,
there.
Yeah, Laurel is huge. That's counties.
In fact, that's where
Anna
George Wallace got shot.
In Charles County, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. George Wallace got shot there, but there was some rednecks in Laurel.
Yeah.
That's why I moved to Baltimore. But anyway, it was a nice conversation. I just wanted to get in there. And as far as trying to get reparations from Africa, hell, they ain't got a damn thing that they can offer because they still colonialized.
They also, but they have already offered you land.
I got land here.
One place offers you 35,000 acres, have much as you want.
I built this place here, and I'm going to get what I'm supposed to get from this place. I ain't going no darn well. Look, my ancestors built this joint. I'd have made money in this joint. And the thing is, if somebody want to run me out of here, they're going to get some bullets. Hell, they know my position. You don't come in here and try to bully.
You mean your present house? Your present
I got
property?
I got land. Yeah, they know what I got acres. So now, hey, look, I got a house, but I got acres too. And LA knows what's going to happen if somebody try to take my
property. Talking about the country. I thought you were talking about the country, but okay. Well, I hope you enjoy yourself on your land.
You damn right I enjoy myself. And you know what? If you ain't got no business here, you get the hell off my property. Because, look, I own this except for taxes. And the thing is, if you want to buy something from me, you buy it at my price. L.A. knows how I feel about my property. I told him, but see, L.A.'s scared. But I ain't scared. I'll go to prison in the electric chair if somebody try to take my stuff.
You scared, L.A.?
Yeah, I'm here. I had to take a call real quick. I'm here.
Tell her what you told me, L.A.
Oh, hold it.
Tell her what you told me if somebody comes and tell you you got to leave your property. Tell her what you told me.
Oh, well, I told him I would leave. If it's at gunpoint or something like that, because there's a lot of land out here.
What will you do, Piyaki?
I ain't going nowhere.
I ain't losing my life over a piece of dirt. That's just me.
No, I ain't gonna lose my life.
Who making you move? Who is it going to be making you move?
We're talking about if somebody came along at gunpoint. Am I correct? Because that's how a lot of black folks got lynched. They got lynched over land.
I just get lynched. But the person that tried to force me off my land ain't going to be able to get it. If I ask L.A. if somebody came to him and told him they wanted his property and he better be leaving, I ask L.A. what would he do? He said, I'd go and find me some more property. That's what you said.
I did say that. I said it.
Thank you. So now you and Piyaki will probably move, but I ain't moving. See, because
Piyaki ain't the type of move either. Well, Piyaki is a NRA. I see. I'm not a member of the NRA. Piyaki is. So more than likely, Piyaki has got something for him. Anybody that would ask him that.
Whereas I ain't a member of the NRA. I'm just a black man.
I'm sure you have a weapon.
I got several weapons.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can only shoot one at a time.
That's right. When I give out a bullets on one, I get another one. And my wife is here to reload while I'm shooting the other one. Until they burn the place down around me.
I'll probably come over and help you.
No,
I don't know why I wouldn't get paid shit.
Well, I don't need your help. If I'm in the
I probably have to bring my own damn bullets.
No, I reload all of my stuff. I got plenty of bullets depending on what kind of gun you got. But look, I don't need your help. If I'm in a fight with the bear, you help the bear.
Now, right now, let's switch it up from a bear.
Well, look, that's it's 11:20. I'm getting ready
to get
out.
You got 10. You got 10 Klansmen there. What you gonna do? Oh, you hold.
I'm going.
Let's say I'm gonna cut it down. You got 5 Dylann Roofs. 5 Dylann Roofs. What you gonna do?
I'm gonna get as many as I can.
All right. Well, yeah, yeah. Well, you got a gun.
Well, now, Brother Elliot, I think I told you the story. The Klans was burning crosses here in this county.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy went to the local hangout where all of them rednecks hang out at, and he said, look, here's the deal. If a white sheep jumps that ditch on my property, it better be a ghost because I'm going to keep shooting until it disappears or it drops. And me, my brother and my daddy, we pulled guard duty protecting our store and our house. So now, I got a proven record. I ain't taking no shit from no crap.
I got a question for you, Beasley. I got a question for you. This is we're Monday morning quarterbacking over 67 years. Moles Wright, the uncle of Emmett Till, he was putting a very awkward situation. The two guys that came for Emmett Till, or on some accounts, three, he had his two sons there. Maybe his wife was still there at the time. What would you have done? Moles White couldn't beg or negotiate, so they took care of Eric. But what would you have done, knowing what you know now?
That's a hypothetical. That's a hypothetical. And I'm not Moles Wright. I'm just telling you what I will do. Now, look,
okay.
I went to Vietnam killing people for democracy when my grandmama couldn't vote. I was getting shot in and I was shooting people. So now I don't have any reservations about taking care of some business if I'm threatened. That's
all right,
all
LA, I
got to
go. I see you guys.
Oh, okay.
I know you.
What
would he have done? Ask him what he would have done.
Well, Pianca, what would you have done?
I don't even know that story entirely. That's a different time. You can't go back in time and say what you're going to do, what you would have done then with today's mentality. But
nobody's got a point.
Answer the question.
You surrounded, what you going to do? And what
he
did Moses Wright do?
Apparently, he didn't have any weapons in the house.
Well, I don't know that. And if he did, he wouldn't have used them. That's how some black folks are. Even if he had a weapon, I don't believe he would have used it. Not in Mississippi. I think it was Mississippi, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Mississippi, yeah.
He wouldn't have used it. And plus, he was a preacher.
We'll get into another discussion on that another day, because there was an outfit called the Deacons of Defense, and I understand Martin Luther King had a gun collection.
He did. Until Bayard Rustin went there and told him to practice nonviolence, that him homosexual.
Well, all right, look, people, thank you both.
You
all the people listening. We're going to end it for today. Everybody have a good rest of the day.
Take care.